Eliza, I really appreciate all of you. In fact, in Cleveland, they're like, why are you always talking about Columbus? I said, because I love them. You know, they're like my second family. So I really appreciate all of you, and it's a blessing for me to be able to come here once a month and be with you. So make sure you know that. To give a little more detail about my mission trip that I'm planning, Lord willing, for Mexico, late September. The missionary down there of an assembly, the worker, their home assembly was doing real well. And then they started thinking of expansion, of growing more. And someone, a friend of mine, actually he already went home to be with the Lord, said to them, why don't you try getting a radio and reaching the mountains, the people in the mountains, preaching the gospel through the radio to them. So he says, oh, why not? So they got this radio system that was able to send the waves up into the mountains. And next thing you know, about a month later, they got a letter from the mountains saying that they had heard the message and they gotten saved. So the missionary says, wow. So what he did was he climbed the mountain. It was about a two-hour drive. And he finally got to the town. And he found a group of believers there waiting for him that had trusted the Lord. So that was the beginning of, that was about 30 years back now. That was the beginning. Since then, they have 40 assemblies they have planted up in the mountains. Can you believe it? 22 full-time evangelists going up into the mountains. Wow, how about that for what God is doing? The home assembly has around 600 people or so, and then they send workers all day long into the mountains to take care of all the assemblies. They disciple and teach. So what the missionary tells me is, we started a church and we're meeting in the side of a mountain. We don't have a building. Why don't you bring a group and help us to build one? So when we go and build them a church building, basically it's dirt floor. We build a rectangular building with just a regular, you know, truss like this, metal roof, put some windows in, a door, and one or two wires for the light bulbs, and that's it. They have outhouses outside. And so that's why we can actually get it done between 10 and 12 days. We'll have the building put up. Outside of taking a construction group with me, I usually take two, sometimes three doctors and some nurses. And we'll go with the evangelists and we'll go to the villages and we'll say, hey, there's a doctor or doctors here to see you. And people come from other homes and get in line and they start seeing patients one by one and treating them. While they're in line, we evangelize them, and we have seen many come to the Lord doing that. Then there's a third group that just goes from village to village preaching the gospel. So they actually break us up into three groups when we get there, and we do a lot of outreach. So if you're interested in this kind of service for the Lord, you'll never forget it. It will really impact you tremendously. One thing that really moved us is they dropped us at a foot of a mountain. We had to climb 2 miles through roads straight up. Sometimes we had to almost crawl to get to this village at the top of a mountain. And up there, they already had established a church, an assembly. They already had a building built for them, and we went and preached the word. And wow, what an experience. Never forget it. And we spend the night with them up there in the mountain. So if this is something that maybe the Lord will lay in your heart to do, make sure you speak to me. I plan it way ahead of time so that for vacations or work or whatever, you can ask the time off. But the next time I come, I have a specific date. But right now, I'm thinking the end of September. Okay? So you have to be 18 or over to come. Unfortunately, I don't want to babysit. It's too much risk. I need to have all kinds of permits and papers from you with the child. And I'm very busy when I go down there because of my ability to speak Spanish. They kill me. I'm translating all day long and preaching all day long every day. And so I can't be taking care of little ones. So sometimes we'll let a 17-year-old come, but you do need a special letter. If you are interested, come and see me, and we'll show you how to get all that done. You need to have a passport, so think ahead if you want to come on a mission trip with all of these things. Okay? Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Alrighty, we're going to be looking at our blessings in Christ. So we're going to look at five blessings. Five blessings. Do you feel blessed today? Hey, amen. Yes or no? Amen. All right. Or even if you don't, we're going to go with the five no's. And so if you haven't felt blessed, you're going to be repenting by the time we're done. Okay, so let's look at the text. Now, in my opinion, chapter 9, verse 27 is the lead verse into chapter 10. In other words, that's the verse that it's talking about as it goes into chapter 10. And chapter 10 and verse 12 closes out the thought. Okay? So we're going to start with 9, 27 and read all the way through 10, 12. All right? So notice, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. So I really believe that the chapter 10, the first part, is talking about how not to be disqualified for God's service. Okay, so let's keep reading. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Did you see the five blessings there? Did you see them? All right, we'll go back in a minute and look at them then. Verse 5. Nevertheless, with most of them, all these people who had all these blessings, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things happen as examples for us right now, you and I, that we should not crave. Now, look at the five no-nos, okay? The five things that we should not do, that you should not crave evil things as they also craved. And do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he falls. Wow, what a powerful portion of the Word of God. I'm telling you, if you study this in detail, it will rock you. Let's look at, first of all, the blessings. Now, keep it in mind, Paul is saying, I don't want to be disqualified. Now, I'm sure all of you would agree with me that there's not a believer who wants to ever be disqualified in his Christian walk. Amen? No one says, you know, I think today I just want to stumble, and I think 10 years from now I want to be useless in God's work. I just want to be miserable and in sin. Nobody thinks that way. Every believer says, I want to be victorious. I want to live for Christ. I want to be used by God. Amen? Isn't that what we think and what we desire? If you're born again, if you really have known the Lord, that's your desire. It can't be any otherwise. And so he's saying to them, I don't want to be disqualified. Now, thinking of that, look at this. Look at this. And I want you, don't be aware, brethren, don't be unaware of this reality. That, and he's going back to the people who left Egypt and came to the promised land. Now, I want you to notice five blessings that they had. Number one, don't be unaware that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, the first blessing they had was supernatural guidance. They were all under the cloud. You remember that, right? Going back to Exodus, when they left Egypt, the cloud was guiding them. Giving them shade, providing for them, directing them. And what does that mean for us today? It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. That we're under the guidance, the direction of the Holy Spirit, just as they were. And so the cloud was guiding them. All they had to do was follow it. And they could see that it was there. It was obvious. We're looking up. There's a cloud. We're not getting sunburned in the middle of the desert. And so today the believer knows, unless you're really untaught. I think every one of you know pretty clearly you have the Holy Spirit. And so what does the Bible say in Galatians 5? Walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's right. And be guided by the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 5, be full of the Holy Spirit. You remember what some lady came and told Dwight L. Moody, why are you always saying be full of the Holy Spirit? Be full of the Holy Spirit. You're always saying that. He says, because I leak. And so, we all do, don't we? That's right. And so we constantly have to go back and say, Holy Spirit, fill me, guide me, direct me, teach me, illuminate me, show me about Christ. And so that's a blessing that you have. You have the Holy Spirit. Never get to the point where you think, no big deal, I have the Holy Spirit. No. Wow. The Spirit of God lives in me. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. Wow. What a blessing. Would you agree that's a blessing? Yes, that's a blessing. We have the Holy Spirit. Okay, point number two. Now, I'm going to go quick with you. This study is actually almost 2 hours long, so I'm squeezing it down to 45 minutes. All right. Secondly, it says, and all pass through the sea. What does that talk about? Supernatural deliverance. How were you saved? Well, were you saved outside of a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin and drawing you to Christ? Isn't being born again mean being born from above? You were born physically, but to be born spiritually, you have to be a supernatural work of God. Right? And so they all passed through the sea. And that speaks to us as that we were all born of God. We were saved from sin and given life. Never. Lord forbid that we ever, I'm saved, it's no big deal. No, we never want to get to that point. But we want it to be fresh, and we want to be excited that I'm born again and that I belong to the family of God. Isn't that true? And so, listen, that's the second blessing. The first one is you got the Holy Spirit supernaturally guiding you. The second one is you have supernatural deliverance from sin, and you're a part of the body of Christ now. The third one, notice, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What that means is they had supernatural leadership through Moses. And they all saw that. And they could see Moses with his rod doing all of these miracles and guiding them and leading them. It was obvious that Moses was their leader. And wow, did he do a great job, right? Malachi chapter 3 teaches us that they taught them the Bible. Go and read it. And it talks about Moses being faithful and teaching them the Word of God. And so today, God gives us elders and leadership. Praise God for the elders that give guidance to this assembly, that pray for you, that are there for you, and that teach you the Word of God. Never slam the elders. Pray for them. Ask God to bless them, but never slam them. It's tough. I've been an elder. I was for 20 years. And I'm telling you, sometimes you get chopped up so bad, you know, you're not even good for chili because you're too small. It's no good. So pray for your leaders. And you know, Moses, boy, did they go come at him or what? Right? It was sad how they attacked him. So supernatural leadership, what a blessing that God gives leadership in the assemblies in every local church. And notice number three, and they all ate the same spiritual food. All ate the same spiritual food. Now, what does that talk to you about? What is a man shall not live by bread alone, but by the Word of God. That's right, by the Word of God. So that speaks to us about the Scripture. But I want you to notice also with me, Psalm 78 and verse 23. Notice that. Let's go there real quick. Psalm 78 and verse 23. We're talking about all of the blessings that we have as believers. And the Paul says, don't overlook this. Don't overlook these blessings. And make sure you're grateful. All right. Psalm 73. And look at verse 23. Yet he commanded the cloud above and opened the doors of heaven. And he rained down manna upon them to eat. And he gave them food from heaven. And man did not eat bread. Man did eat the bread of angels. He sent them food in abundance. Wow. And so the food that they were eating was manna, right? That was supernatural food. It was just all of a sudden they were in the middle of the desert where there's no food, where there's nothing. Suddenly there's food every day. You ever thank God for the food? Every day when we have food, we should praise Him. Never overlook that. We'll look at that more in detail in a minute. So they were eating food of angels. Now, in case you didn't know that or not, but since manna stopped and we're in the New Testament stages now, the food of angels is Mexican food. I don't know if you knew that or not. You don't know that, the Holy Spirit will give you understanding. All right, we'll leave that one there. We'll leave that one there. But God was providing for them, and they could see it. They could see the morning that was there. It was food. They would eat it, and it would nourish them. They would live. So it's like, wow, look at this blessing. All right, and then notice then, going back to our text, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from the spiritual rock, which followed them, and the rock was Christ. And so we know that when they were going through the desert, they got thirsty, because guess what happens when you're in the desert? You get thirsty. And so Moses speaks to the rock, and they had water. So they were able to see the water and drink it. Like, wow, and then it happened again. Right? But this time Moses whacked it instead of speaking to it. And so that's another lesson. We'll leave that one there. Right? But the Bible says not only were they drinking physical water, but the rock that was with them, not only did they have the cloud, the Holy Spirit, but they had Jesus Himself. The Christ was walking with them through the desert the whole time. The presence of the living God right there with them. Would you consider this as blessings for their lives, yes or no? Yeah, every one of these blessings are yours and mine in Christ as believers. Wow. Yes? That's right. And that's what it's saying. Brethren, don't overlook the fact that all of those blessings that they had are also true of us. Blessed. Are you blessed? Yes or no? All right, say, I'm blessed. All right. But notice what the text says, and this is, it rocks me every time I read it. It's like, I can't believe it. But look at it. There it is. Verse 5. Nevertheless, with most of them. Now, I would feel a little comfort if it said with some of them. But what does it say, Mikael? What does it say? With how many of them? With most. Wow. With most of them, God was what? Not well pleased. Wow. For they were laid low in the wilderness. With most of them, God wasn't pleased. Now, brother, sister, how in the world can that be? How in the world can it be? They were blessing upon blessing being poured into their lives, poured into their lives. All of these things that were there, and yet God wasn't pleased with them. Why? All right, so we saw the five blessings, which were, let's go through them. Right, even I have to look at my notes to remember, right? Supernatural guidance, which is what? Holy Spirit. Supernatural deliverance? Salvation. Supernatural leadership? Moses. And today it's the leadership that God gives in the local assemblies. All right? Supernatural nourishment? Not Mexican food. It was manna. It was manna. All right? It was manna. All right, very good. And then supernatural refreshment, which was who? Christ. Christ Himself. Those are all blessings that we have. All right, now let's look at why, because we don't want to be disqualified. Right? Remember, you start in 927, lest I myself should be disqualified. All right, now notice. Now these things happen, verse 6, as examples for us. So we need to learn what happened to them so that we won't go through the same thing. Listen. Number one, the five no's. Five things that you need to be careful that are not part of your life. Okay, notice. That we should not crave evil things as they also craved. Wow. As they also craved. Someone read for me Numbers 11 and verse 4 and 6. Then I'm going to have somebody else read Exodus 32, 1 through 6. Somebody else read Numbers 25, 1 through 3. Somebody else read Numbers 21, 4 through 6. And finally, Numbers 16 and verse 41. 16 and verse 41. Okay, so who wants to read the first one, Numbers 11, 4 through 6?
And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes.
All right, can you read the first part of the verse?
4. And the mixed multitude that was among them.
The mixed multitude. Who's the mixed multitude? Or your Bible might say the rabble. Who's that? Who's that? Listen to a quote from Dr. Spiros. He says, the rabble, or the mixed multitude, the foreigners, since they were not Hebrews, they had no personal attachment either to the promise or to God. They had come out of Egypt with Israel. They were, and these were the people who were tired of the manna, forgetting all of the reasons for fleeing from Egypt. They remembered only the fish, the onions, the garlic, which were formerly available to them. They soon infected Israel with their deep dissatisfaction. They were held in low esteem by the Israelites, although Israel allowed themselves to be influenced by their grumbling. These were people who were never saved. They never trusted God by faith for the salvation of their souls. They were religious. They tagged along. They wanted God to serve them, to give them things, to make life easy for them, to give them nice things, but they didn't want hardship. Wow, this was the rabble, the foreigners. And so you know what's funny? They were full of greedy desires. When they saw what God did and how he delivered them and they were leaving, they said, you know what? I'm going to tag along. There's a blessing there for me. There's things that I can gain. And so the foreigners, the rabble, as the Bible says, tagged along. But guess what? Sooner or later, the Israelites kept listening to them, grumbling and they're complaining, oh, there's food, oh, there's manna. And then pretty soon they started complaining too. And they started craving evil things. You know that the flesh, even though we've been born again, saved by grace, we have the Holy Spirit. You know the flesh never stops. And you don't watch that flesh, it starts craving evil things, doesn't it? And that's the number one exhortation here of the five, do not. Do not crave evil things. And you know what we learned that? At work. With the neighbors. With people always complaining. Always craving and wanting more. And that's all they think about. And next thing you know, if you're not careful, you get infected by them. And so they started craving evil things. And it came from unbelievers infecting them. Unbelievers influencing them. You gotta watch it. Because you start to crave evil things. And then the second one, verse 7, and do not be idolaters as some of them were. Who has Exodus 32, 1 through 6? Somebody can read it.
Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. And then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.
And read a little bit more.
So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And then they arose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play.
Okay, notice what he did. He brought an offering and said, this is for the Lord. So he didn't stop doing the things he was doing, but he mixed in idolatry. And this is syncretism. This is syncretism. He kept making offerings to the Lord. Notice he brought the peace offerings, you know? And yet they mixed the idolatry. And that's what's going on today. Mixing, syncretism. We like a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Oh, that looks like a good... That'll draw more people. And if we're not careful too, in our own walk, there could be a lot of idolatry. And so 1 John says, brethren, stay away from idols. And if you keep reading chapter 10, he'll specifically zero in on idols. And he says this about idols. Even though it's just a statue of cement or wood, when the Gentiles offer their worship to it, they're really worshiping the demons. And so he says, be careful with craving evil things. Be careful with idolatry. It's a sin of the heart. Okay? And then the next one is verse 8, nor let us act immorally as some of them did. And 23,000 fell in one day. Who's got that text? That's Numbers 25, 1 and 3. Chapter 25, 1 through 3. Very good. So you remember Balaam was supposed to curse Israel? When he tried to curse them, nothing but blessings came out, right? And so then he says to the king, you know what? This is not going to work. I keep trying, and God said no. But you want to know how you can get them to stumble? Send your girls down there. Have a little party. And man, they're going to fall like that, right? And so... it's okay. We can go to a party with non-believers and with all of their partying. Nothing's going to happen. I'll be okay. We can go here and there. And so what happened was that the Moabites sent their women down there, invited them to one of their feasts. And next thing you know, they started committing immoral acts. And the Lord, how many died like that? 23,000. And what happened? There was another couple in the middle of the act, sinning out in front of everybody. And Phinehas, Eleazar's son, the priest's son, took a spear and stuck him to the ground. And the plague stopped. Somebody had the guts to say, this is not right. Christians need to live in holiness. And that's what he was saying, proclaiming that. He was brave, and he stood against it. And so... this is such a stumbling block for so many Christians. How many Christian leaders have stumbled in with immoral acts? How many families, Christian families, have stumbled? And this is something that will disqualify us for God's work that we need to constantly be aware of. Okay, the next point. All right, number 9. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Okay, Numbers 21, 4 through 6. Who's got it?
And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this like bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died.
Okay, what's the lesson behind this? Wait a minute, they said there was no food or no water. And then we loathed the manna. So there was food. And Christ was with them and did give them water. Okay? So what they were saying was, we're sick of this food. Uh-oh. Have you ever said to your mom, oh, Mom, I'm going to eat this junk again? You ever done that? I'm sick of this food. I'm so tired of it, and I don't want beans anymore. You done that? Uh-oh. Oh, look at the young ones. They're all guilty. They're repenting of their sin even right now. But you know we do that, don't we? Don't we do that? But notice, I like what Mark MacArthur says in his commentary. They had no concern for pleasing God, only for him pleasing them. They demanded that he serve them better. I want better food and I want better things. It was testing God to see how much they could get from him. Wow. And that's what we need to be careful of. And that's what he was trying to say right there. Be careful that you don't be like they were. And then let's go to the last one. Let's go to the last one, verse 10. Nor grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Numbers 16:41. Who's got it?
But on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people."
Wow. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Have you ever grumbled? Have you grumbled lately? Have you grumbled about your job and about your church and about the leadership and about everything? Have you grumbled? I'm so tired of you. You know how we do it? Probably every day this week, right? Wow. And so they started complaining and they started noticing. Notice what they did. They blamed it on Moses and Aaron because the people died. Wait a minute. Moses had nothing to do with all this adultery they were doing or with the idolatry they started doing or with the complaining about the food and the testing of God. He had nothing to do with it, but they tried to blame it on him. You notice? And that's what grumbling is. You grumble, you're blaming it on God, and you're blaming it on God's leadership. Right? And so God was so displeased that he sent the destroyer out and 14,007 people died. Boom, like that. Wow. Because they were attacking the leadership again. They were constantly complaining. Wow. You want to be disqualified for God's service? Do you want God to not use you in a powerful way? Then constantly complain and grumble. And you're going to find that God will not open doors and will not use you in a powerful way. Now you're probably thinking, oh, come on, Ray, these are just basic things. I'm not going to stumble into them. I'm not going to be an idolater. I'm not going to act immorally. I'm not going to be craving evil things. I'm not going to try the Lord. And I'm not grumbling all the time. Notice verse 11. Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Listen, any one of us can fall into adultery in a minute. Any one of us can fall into idolatry and into grumbling, right? And to trying the Lord and craving evil things. We need to be careful. You don't think that you're beyond this. Nobody's beyond it. And I'm very aware of the fact that in any moment I can stumble. And what I don't want is that I myself should be disqualified. Because you, as well as I, we want God to use us in powerful ways and we want to count for eternity. And so we need to constantly count our blessings, right? Thank you, Lord, for these five blessings that are ours in Christ. And help us not to crave or do those five things that will disqualify us from being used by you. So, praise the Lord for these five blessings that are ours. Never, never overlook them or look down on them. And be careful with these five no's. And may the Lord help us to serve him and be qualified and be used by him in mighty ways. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture. We want to be qualified, Lord. We do not want to be disqualified. But we want, when the end of our days come, for you to say, "Well done, faithful servant." Lord, help us, we pray. In your blessed name.